Hello, welcome to episode 60 of TryGames.net Pachach. I your host, Tired, Chupon, Mister, as usual known as Austin. We're talking about games and bathroom humor. Today is splintered. It's very strange. Al and I are recording on Sunday.
Damn right.
And then potentially myself, Ethan, and Tony will record tomorrow.
As you can tell from the rest of the podcast, this did not happen, so enjoy a lot of empty air.
So we're splitting it up because of schedule differences, and Tony and Ethan are enjoying a nice day on top of each other on the beach.
Hell man.
Yeah.
H-O-M-E-A-U.
E-A-U.
Yeah, home X.
Ew. E-A-U-X.
Home
Eos. Yeah. And if you don't hear Ethan and Tony saying hi within the next 5 minutes, then that means that we failed, and like it's only going to be me and Al. And I'll edit it together and make it sound all pretty and fake. I have one and potentially three people next to me. Right now I have one, and it is...
Biatch.
It's Biatch. You're a Biatch?
No, you're a Biatch.
But you just said that you're the one next to me and you're a Biatch.
No.
Yeah, you suck.
You suck.
Your fate... You suck nothing. Wait, that didn't work out. Shit. Okay.
Ah, I win.
Your face. We are going to talk about some stuff, but we don't know what it is yet.
Yeah, we're good like that.
Yeah. As far as what Al and I will talk about, we'll talk about maybe one or two news things, and then we'll let Tony and Ethan voice their opinions on those one or two news things tomorrow.
Not.
And then we will read from the reader Bag of Toilet. Al says he has many bag of shits, but I will only limit him to one and then maybe more because I will probably have fallen asleep because I stayed up late watching, trying to avoid watching him beat Metroid Prime 2.
Whoa.
Which I halfway succeeded in. I didn't see the ending.
Yeah.
And then we will go to the mail bag because we have a healthy one, plump and juicy and... You know, shaven.
Ready for the eating.
Shaven. Okay.
Ready for the eating.
But as usual, we will start with, well, not what you've been playing, because I know what the fuck you've been playing, but what will you be playing for the next month? And we'll see if you stick with that next month.
Okay. Well, I just bought, like, three games, and those are the games we're going to be playing for the next month. Bought Clubhouse Games, DS. I bought Picross DS. And Metroid Prime 3 Corruption. And those will be the games that I'm playing along with some more Pokemon because I still have work to do.
And not Zelda, of course, because you just left that behind and you're cruel.
No. Zelda's that kind of thing that I come back to after like 3 years and I'm like, yeah, this game is fucking awesome, yeah. And then
you're late to the party, and everyone laughs at you.
I'm always late to the party.
Your face.
Nah, I mean, but now here's the thing. At work, everything sucks. So I bought Clubhouse Games and Picross so that I could actually like play a game. Because usually at my breaks, the time goes by so fast. I only have enough time to go, turn on my DS, walk to where I have to go, get to the Pokemon Center where I'm usually saved, and then I have to turn it off and go back. It kind of blows, so.
So you get a lot done.
Yeah, I do. A whole lot. So much done that, so much.
Your face.
You're a face.
Face. Ethan, what are you going to be playing for the next month?
I'm
going
to be working.
Okay, I'll give you a chance to speak. Chance to speak. And I'll edit this in later. Ethan, you better say something, you Jew. Tony, what are you going to be playing for the next month? Placeholder. Okay.
Placeholder.
And this will be unedited if they don't talk to me, so you'll hear it in all its glory.
Awesome.
It'll probably be unedited if they do talk to us, and then they'll be like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
And shit.
That'd be
awesome. I'll probably be lazy and not even edit it in, and like, their what should you be playing in the month will come, like, in at the hour mark or something.
Yeah, it's going to be, like, the hottest podcast ever.
Your face...
You're
hottest podcast, nothing.
That's right.
There's a question for me, I think. I will probably be playing Prince of Persia and Super Paper Mario for the next month because you know it takes me years to finish games.
Hey.
But those are the two current ones. Like, I have to rip myself away from BioShock and Metroid Prime 3 because I started them and that was a mistake. Because I want to keep on playing them. And I shouldn't. But
you will.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Prime 3 since you started it. What do you think about the controls?
I think the controls are great. Nice and fluid. Excellent. It takes a little getting used to. Like, especially since I switched the B and the A. Like, for some reason, by instinct, I'm pressing A to shoot when I really want to press B to shoot.
Well, that's probably because you just finished playing Prime 2 and A is shooting in that.
That is very true. Yes, that makes a whole lot of sense. And so, that's one thing that I need to work on, but I do feel like it's excellent in terms of how fluid the advanced control scheme is and how the sensitivity is just like, you know, okay, I want to go and shoot this thing up in a corner or I want to scan this thing up in a corner. So I just kind of tilt my wrist ever so slightly and flick, boom, I'm there. And then the visor where you just like hold minus and just, you know, you're already going up there and you hit the minus, you let go of the minus and boom, scan visor.
Right.
And right now, I mean, all I did was I shot some doors and I shot some crates and I got to save point. So
crate. Start to crate.
Yeah, start to crate is like, what, 3 seconds? So, you know, next week I'll have a lot more to say because I'll be like annihilating space pirates and doing all kinds of weird, wicked stuff.
Pew, 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 pew.
That's right, let's go pew, pew.
I'll say that it even caught me off guard, though, because I was expecting Call of Duty 3 controls, which, like, personally, I still think those are awesome. I'm like, there are a lot of people out there who say they can't get their, you know, get their brains around it. Lots of smart people that I know. Mm-hmm. Lots of skilled people, and I just don't understand how they can't. It's like, I just don't get it. Like, it just works naturally for me, and it just, like... Like, it became the de facto standard for me, which was kind of weird, because the game itself wasn't that great, mm-hmm. but, like, the control was superb. And I was expecting that for Prime 3, and I put it up, and I was like, this is too sensitive, actually. Mm-hmm. I was like, this is actually going around way too much, and they should have toned it down a little bit. But after about 10 minutes, when you start scanning stuff and you start getting the hang of it, then, you know, you realize that, hey, it's, you know, it's actually better. Mm-hmm. But I will say that, yeah, it does take more getting used to. If you start off with the standard controls, it's not that bad, actually. And you know, you might have a great experience just sticking with standard. If you feel like you have better control over the Wiimote than most people, or if you, you know, consider yourself advanced, or if you're willing to... take the half hour to get acclimated to it, then you should move on to advanced, you know. But with the caveat that, yeah, it does take some getting used to, even if you have played Call of Duty 3, because it is very sensitive. Do not go for basic, please. That is like Red Steel.
Unless you're a noob.
That is like, well, not even noob, unless you just like hating yourself, because the Red Steel controls are janky. You can't turn. You can, yeah. But you can't.
And I guess noobs would be like, oh my god, I can't turn. So, yeah.
I mean, it works in Zelda where it's not a shooter and, like, it only happens in fleeting moments.
Mm-hmm.
And you can turn with the, I believe you can turn with the analog stick at any point in time so you don't have to drag your cursor all the way over. Red Steel, no. Don't, yeah, no. Developers, don't, well, just stop it. Stop it! Actually, I read a thing about Medal of Honor Heroes 2 for Wii, which is another PSP port, which makes me so happy because developers are actually thinking outside the box and making original properties and not porting stuff. Oh, wait, they are.
Oh, yeah,
but
they are.
But at the very least, they're actually including a dead zone adjuster so that you can actually adjust the dead zone in which your Wiimote cursor is in. The bigger the dead zone, the more you have to actually move it to the side in order for you to start turning. So you can actually – like that's kind of how Metroid Prime does it. But – it only gives you 3 preset settings, and EA is letting you actually set how big that box is for Medal of Honor Heroes, which is kind of cool. So yeah, I just wish it wasn't another PSP port.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's enough of bitching about that. And I suppose, maybe, possibly, that we'll move on to the noose.
The noose. The hanging noose.
We'll be right back.
We're at the news, but we're just going to sit here for like about 10 minutes and like move on because we're tired and bored and we only have half a man. Yeah. So,
Game Over.
Demoa, the biggest one. The biggest one that I want to talk about and that Tony and Ethan will talk about in a few minutes when I edit them in, or if I don't edit them in about an hour.
They're not coming. Get over it.
Is Ubisoft titles go free on File Planet. Free.
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 The low price.
As in
free.
No money required to buy. Instead, you will watch ads. And this is from Kotaku's Mike Fahey.
Are you a PC gamer who's never tried Far Cry?
Okay, whatever. Basically, the article says, Far Cry, Rayman Raving Rabbids, which is a waste of time on PC because you don't have a Wiimote, and Prince of Persia, Sands of Time. And then he says, well, all four games have shown up on File Planet, which, by my count, they're three games. But anyway, completely free of charge for subscribers to the service. Not exactly completely free. They're all now inconvenient as supported form, and I think he meant to type ad, but of course bloggers don't, you know, proofread.
They don't really check this.
And they don't
much.
Care about integrity, so it's as. But yeah, they are now in all inconvenient ad supported form, meaning you'll get a healthy dose of marketing along with your free game. But hell, they use some pretty freaking awesome titles to get for the low, low price of watching a few commercials. And he explains why he typed 4 instead of 3 and says, not sure if there's a temporary deal as Ghost Recon was up there as well, but the link is now not working, so you might need to hop on this ASAP. So he probably thought that there were 4 games and then took out the Ghost Recon. But that's what proofreading is all about. You change your paragraph when you say, okay, I'll stop bitching about their shitty writing. And then Darren Gladstone's blog. Darren Gladstone is a Games for Windows / OneUp.com editor, and he says, on to the big question, do ads fuck up gameplay? As of right now, I've played Prince of Persia and Rayman. Prince of Persia is actually pretty reasonable. A quick ad pops up at the save points. Considering the game's free, I can totally live with that. Rayman's a little more annoying with its slightly more in-your-face ads, but again, I can deal with it. The only one left to check out is Far Cry. Will there be billboards on a deserted island? This bullet brought to you by Doritos. Doubtful, but I'll find out soon enough. One interesting point. After digging through the file folders, I'm not seeing any security screwing DRM nonsense. At least nothing that's going to leave me open to a big hack attack. Maybe the ads get funneled into the game upon installation. I'll have to get back to you guys on that. So, gentlemen, what are you waiting for? Start your downloads. So that sounds reasonable, like in my opinion at least. Let me see if he's made any updates. But I feel like I could tolerate that.
I think I could tolerate that too. I mean, for me to actually get to play Far Cry, you know, being that I never bought it and I never thought my computer was ever good enough to really play it, and then, you know, when I get my new brand spanking ass computer soon, I don't know when, but soon, you know, I'll be able to download Far Cry for free. And what was the other
one? There was Rayman and there was Prince of Persia.
Right, Prince of Persia was Sands of Time, right?
Yeah. But you can assume that if this works well, they'll probably do it for Warrior Within and Two Thrones as well, so.
True. And I'm thinking, hopefully. Well, would it be better to play that on a console or on the PC? Because, you know.
Yeah, that's a thing.
I have no idea where my controller is.
Oh, that's a problem. But find that controller, and they should also offer Beyond Good and Frickin' Evil.
That's very true.
So, while we're talking about Beyond Good and Evil, give me 1 second. Because blowing my nose has everything to do with Beyond Good and Evil. I don't know why, but it does.
Because it is Beyond Good and Evil.
But yeah, actually, Beyond Good and Evil is actually also available on a GameTap, I think so. And that is also ad-supported and free. Well, they have a free ad-supported mode. I don't think you can play all games ad-supported on GameTap, but I believe you can play a majority of them. I don't know. I still have to check that out. We've been bad about checking out GameTap and writing about it.
Yeah. We need a spanking.
No, thank you.
No, we don't need a spanking.
But yeah, just everyone go to File Planet, GameSpy, Prince of Persia, Sands of Time, Rayman, Raving Rabbids, and Far Cry. I think I can deal. I think I can deal with the ads. We'll talk about this with Ethan and Tony right now.
Nope.
Or in 20 minutes, or 60 minutes, or whenever they decide to come in.
Or 24 hours.
24 hours, or whenever I decide to edit them in. Moving on, another quick topic. Manhunt 2, this happened earlier, but I was on vacation and we didn't have a podcast. So, Al, you want to talk
My
about
it? My bad.
Really quickly, just talk about it.
Yeah. that game, Manhunt, that, you know, we never thought was going to come out because everybody was like, oh my gosh, you can, like, cut women's heads off and, like, have sex with the hole. Yeah, it's actually coming out, people. It's coming out in on Halloween. And I think that it's one big publicity stunt because Manhunt would have been much better suited for a Halloween release.
Right.
As opposed to July 10th or 17th or whatever it was. So they managed to get an M rating. They, you know, pulled some strings, sucked some cocks. I seen it. And they managed to get an M rating.
I seen it.
I seen it.
I wonder what they took out. I really do wonder what they took out.
I wonder if they took out anything, but we'll leave that for behind the game.
Yeah. Or the PC version.
Behind the programming.
If a PC version ever comes out and they decide to just stick all that stuff back in.
Or the rumored Dutch version.
Wait, but did they say that they would censor that too, or they would just release it as is?
It's a rumor. They didn't say anything about it. They just said that the game was going to come out in the Netherlands, regardless of how they banned it in the rest of Europe, because the Dutch say that us banning the game is against the law because our law states that adults should be able to decide what the hell they want, which is what every law should be, but that's my point of view.
Funny that the Dutch knows us better than we do.
Yeah, well, the Dutch also, you know, have the red light district.
True.
Which is exemplary of adults knowing what they want. But anyway, after the game got M rating and, you know, us adult gamers rejoiced because we can finally play Manhunt 2 after all this hoopla. Senator Leland Yee.
Oh, fuck him.
He got a little hissy fit and was all like, why does this game have an M rating now? What was changed? Tell us what changed so that we can know and us parents can be aware of what was changed.
But isn't that the point? To not let people know what was in it? Is that
exactly?
Oh, fucking dumbass.
So he's like, let us know what has been changed so that we can be aware of why this game has an M rating. And Patricia Vance, bless her heart, was like, fuck you. We don't talk about that shit because it's confidential.
Right.
You know, we basically talk with the game company and we find out, you know, based on our standards, what constitutes an M rating. Then Leland Yee was like, oh my god, the ESRB is so incredible. Well, uncredible, whatever the fuck you want to call it.
And shitty bill?
They're incredulous.
Oh.
Because they won't even talk about the content of the games that they rate. It's such a conspiracy. And Patricia Vance was like, dude, get your head out your ass. I mean, this is made for the purpose of parents being aware of what's going on. And the best prevention of having this game go into minors is to let the parents know that this is an M-rated game. And that retailers know that this is an M-rated game, so they're not going to sell it to somebody who's under 17.
Right.
And I have a really cool example, even though this is like a two-second example.
Yeah.
When I went to get Clubhouse Games in Picross,
yeah.
I got it at a GameStop.
Yeah.
And people were ordering.
What up, blood? What up, cuz? What up, blood? What up, gangsta?
50 Cent bulletproof in front of me.
Oh.
We don't play that. We don't play that.
Yeah, they had absolutely no idea what was going on. And the guy behind the clerk, before he finished the sale, he told the people, you guys know that this is an M-rated game, and it is for adults only, people.
How
17.
Old are these kids?
Oh, no, these were adults. This was like a father.
Oh, okay.
And so he had to let him know that, because just in case he was buying it for, like, his 15-year-old son.
Yeah.
You know that this game is, you know, I mean, I'm going to sell it to you, yes. Because
we talking about
50
Cent trying to put holes in your 15-year-old. Hold on my mouth, what?
Somebody bust his jaw?
Bust my jaw. Boof my jaw. I've had no talent no more.
Industry hoes fuck us. In the hood they love us. Stomp a bone out your ass with some brand new chuckers.
At least it's not Craig Mack. And somebody threw Folgers in his face. Wait, let's not go there.
Craig Mack, he brought it back.
Craig Mack, 1,000 degrees. You'll be on your knees and you'll be burning dragon fleas.
You're name dropping now. Continue.
Yeah, let me pick that name up. So, you know, that's how the system should work. Before you go and buy a game that has objectionable content, the retailer should tell you, look, this game may have objectionable content. Are you sure you want to buy this? And then I go, yeah, fuck yeah, shit yeah. And then I go buy the game, take it home.
Right.
And that'll prevent all those other people from doing
it. What did the guy say? Was the guy like, oh, wait, or was he just like, oh, it's for me?
Oh, no, he was just like, oh, okay. You know, I mean, he went there and picked it up off the shelf. I mean, he could have picked it up off the shelf because his kid was like, Daddy, give me 50 cents. And he was like, isn't that 50? You know.
All right, fine, bitch.
All right, yeah. Damn, I'll go to the store.
Asshole of a kid. Gonna fucking put you in slave labor when you're 17, bitch. What? Mm-hmm. No, brownies for dessert. Yeah, so it's to let people know what's going on, not what's not going on or what's edited out.
Exactly.
Unfortunately, I heard, and this is actually not on a newsreel, but I just wanted to, oh yeah, Tony, Ethan, what are your thoughts on this? Placeholder. You will hear from them in either an hour or 5 seconds. But, after their placeholder shit, and there's another ESRB thing going on, and this was happening during a games conference in Germany, in Leipzig.
Do it now.
That Julian Erbracht was complaining about how hard it was to get Lair, which got really good ratings, by the way, from everybody. GameSpot gave it a 4.5 out of 10. EGM gave it like 5.5 and a 6. And IGN, that gives every single game that sucks like a 9.9, give it a 4.9.
Yeah, better than Bioshock.
Yeah, congratulations, Lair, because you really deserve it. He said that it was really tough getting Lair to a T rating. And the things that they had to change were, one, when you're a dragon and you're on, like, the ground-based missions where you have to eat the people and flame them up and, like, decapitate them and shit, they had to put helmets on them. So that when they decapitated the people, they weren't really cutting their heads off, they were just removing their helmets. Which makes no sense because, obviously, the head's still coming off, and you can clearly see that the torso has no head, but it's a helmet that's coming off, so it's not as offensive. B, they had to get rid of the ragdoll physics.
What?
Because it makes it more realistic. Their deaths are more realistic with ragdoll.
That's just insane, man.
And then, like, I think they had to, like, get rid of the blood or something like that. But, yeah, I mean, like, those little changes, it's like, okay, they're still dying. And they're still, like, getting decapitated. But, oh, you put a helmet on, it's okay. It's all fine, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's just weird standards that, you know, they have to deal with. It's kind of like how in every World War II game, no one's getting decapitated. And, yeah, there's no blood. So it's a T game. It's teen. You know, you play Medal of Honor, it's T because there's no freaking, like, real blood coming out. But you are still peppering a Nazi with, like, 27 bullet holes and throwing grenades their way.
Sounds like a New York City... Let me stop. I'm just playing. Do not come to my house and Abneluima me, okay? Thank you.
Oh, rest in peace.
Oh, wait, let me pick that name up.
Stop it, Saget. Ethan and Tony, what are your thoughts?
Duck vaginas?
My pussy's getting wet as we speak.
We are at the bag of shit. Shittity shit.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Let's start off with our reader bag of shit.
Yeah.
This is from Marshy Man over at the On Point Podcast. Hello, party people at Try Games. Josh here to give you another great game that desperately needs to be in the bag of Colon Blow. I want to set this up. Everyday people are creating Java and freeware versions of Tetris, so it's fucking astonishing when Blue Planet Software came out with Tetris Worlds for, I think, $40 on the PS2. This piece of shit gave Tetris what it so desperately needed, right? A story. Oh, God.
Wow.
A story. Yeah, this game gives us insight on the origins of the Tetrians. I don't think you want me to spoil a storyline that's almost as riveting as a retarded version of Cat in the Hat.
Oh, man.
Are you serious?
That's crazy.
The blocks come down. Please don't frown. Go down on my balls. Also, the reason that this game is here in the first place is that you know that skill that you get from Tetris because it gets faster. And faster, when the block hits the ground, you have to go to the next one. Well, in this gem, when the block hits the ground, you can still move it. Oh, that's like Tetris or DS. Yeah,
oh,
that's
yeah,
right.
You said it.
The infinite twirl.
Yeah.
So when the block hits the ground, you can still keep on moving it around. And so, like, what I would do on Tetris DS, just out of instinct, because I knew I could, not because I wanted to cheat, but just out of instinct, survival, like, when I had, like, two lines left before the screen filled up, I would just keep on, like, pressing A and stalling until I could, like, or something.
But now, wait, when you were moving it around and rotating it, if a piece would go into the other pieces, it doesn't matter? Like
it doesn't go. It like it shifts so that it makes physical sense.
Okay, so it only goes through the actual logical solutions.
Yeah.
It doesn't.
So if it was in an impossible situation, if it was like a four square, the long one, and you stuck it into the vertical hole,
and
then
tried to make it horizontal,
you tried to make it horizontal, it would still go horizontal, but it would land on top of the blocks, not like in like it wouldn't like merge with them. So.
So what if it was like an L block and everything is filled on the top, so that when you rotated the line of the L would actually go into the rest of the blocks? Would it just not do that at all, or would
it would just sit on top and go off the top of the screen, and then like the next block would kill you?
Got it. Or that block would kill you.
And start over from that sentence. Well, in this gen, the block hits the ground. You can still move it around until you set the button press, thereby signifying that if you see this game in your local game store, feel free to just whip out your dick and start pissing on people uncontrollably. I like that game better.
That's moving it around and until you set it.
Oh, I will do quickly with my bag of shit because I can't remember everything about I can't remember how to clearly explain everything that sucked about this game. Mm-hmm. But it was for the Nintendo DS and it was Sprung.
Oh.
And I got it because I saw it used in a store for $11, and I thought, you know what? This is launch time. There's nothing good out on DS, except for, oh, wait, there is nothing good out on DS. So let me just pick this up anyway because I have nothing to lose and give it a shot and see what it's like. It was basically similar to a point-and-click adventure with an inventory and all that shit, but it was a dating sim point-and-click adventure, and you didn't really point-and-click. It was more like Phoenix Wright that we know now. It was basically like animated panels of, you know, people.
Okay, right.
So you didn't really point and click anywhere or move anywhere. You just like talked to them and used items and inventory items. But for gameplay, it tried to incorporate like these dating games, like memorize what I say and then repeat it back to me. Mm-hmm. So they would say something like, I don't know, like what's my favorite color? What's my favorite animal and this and that? And they would say, like, my favorite color is this, my favorite animal is that, this, that, and the other thing. And then you have to recite it back to them. And that was gameplay.
Wow, that's fucking awesome. I need to get this game.
And the writing was actually... Well, some of the writing was pretty clever because it was written by some Fox sitcom writer, which is probably the reason why she's writing for the game is because she got fired for writing shit on Fox. Actually, that's not hard to come by. But... She did manage to throw in one or two funny jokes in there, like I don't know, I can't even remember because they were so unremarkable. But the thing that stands out most to me is that this is an American writer. She messed up your and your.
Wow.
Like maybe two or three times throughout the game, maybe only once, but I noticed it.
That's
and
crazy.
I was like, wait a second. I guess she was mired in the internet age of when people can't fucking spell. Your is not spelled you are. Stop it.
You are. That's that internet chat society right there.
And fucking, like, ridiculous? No. Yeah, ridiculous is spelled R-I-D-I-C-U-L-O-U-S, not R-E.
Oh, God, R-E-D-I-C.
You people are 27 years old. Learn how to spell. Oh, and definitely has no A in it.
Definitely.
Yeah, it has no A in it. It's definitely. It's definitely. Learn how to freaking spell. You were born here. God damn it. Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is coming from somebody whose like family and his background is like not even from here, and he's telling you guys how to.
Yeah, my family was made in Taiwan, even though I was made here.
You know, God
learn
damn.
Learn how to freaking spell. Anyway,
people can't use their own language.
Unfortunately, this has nothing to do with bag of shit. So, Al, what is your bags of shites? I'll give you two.
No, I'll just take one for now because I have a lot, but I just
Face
can't,
has
like,
a lot.
You know, fuck you and
fuck you nothing.
And I can't really think of the rest of them at the moment because I need to like get out of here and stuff. But anyway,
Oh, sorry, that was pinball.
Oh, okay.
Actually, that game was good, but I wouldn't buy it on virtual console for $5.
My game is one of the Arnold Schwarzenegger games that...
Oh, no!
That actually does suck. That I've played. The other one sucks, but I never played it, so I don't want to say it as my bag of shit.
Is it going to be Total Recall or Predator?
It's going to be Total Recall today.
Oh.
Predator was the one I didn't play.
Okay.
Total Recall...
I think I mentioned Predator, like... I think we were talking about really, really shitty games for our mailbag question, because I think episode 36 was when we did, like, the mailbag episode. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I mentioned Predator, and I spliced in the music because that gave me traumatic memories. Go on.
Yeah, Total Recall for the NES is an absolutely shitty game where they tell you the entire story of the movie on the back of the box.
Well, that's not hard to do because the movie had very little story.
Yeah, I know, but the thing was, it's like, okay, what if... I mean, I guess it's like one of those like Roger Rabbit type shits where it's like, okay, you're only going to play Total Recall if you actually saw the movie. Like, right, the only way you could actually get through Roger Rabbit is if you saw the movie.
Right.
And so, it's not really the case, like, in Total Recall. This time, it's not like, oh, I had to have seen the movie to know what to do, but you pretty much do. Because the game follows the course of the movie, where you have to do things in the sequence of the movie, and it's a free-roaming type of game. So it's not like I got to get from the left side of the screen to the right side of the screen. It's like
you have to go say that you're bringing vegetables onto the planet and then say 2 weeks over and over again and then explode your head and then throw it.
Right, exactly.
In
that order. And it's like the controls were shitty. The game mechanics, like the way the enemies were placed. It was like Ninja Gaiden hard, sort of, but not in a fun way.
And 2 weeks.
Yeah. And it, no.
No, and, do it now. No.
So, yeah, that game blows because it was too hard to play. It wasn't fun. And you couldn't get anywhere without knowing how the movie went. Again.
I don't understand why people do that.
Because they're just asinine. It's a claim. Which used to be LJN. The same fucking company.
Ugh.
And these guys...
Licked your nuts.
You know? They licked nuts.
But wait, what about that Nintendo seal of quality?
That just means that the game doesn't explode
crash,
when you put it in the NES.
What a farce.
Yeah.
Ugh, God. You didn't test that game, did you? Funny.
Oh, that was way before my time.
Yeah. We're done with the bag of shit.
Go home.
Unless
time.
Tony and Ethan have something to say. Hello, Ethan? Tony?
I'm working.
I fuck Tony.
Okay. That was good.
Yeah.
Thanks, Tony and Ethan. We'll skip a main topic. We've been slacking off with our main topics in the past couple episodes, but I don't give a shit because you suck and I'm cool.
And that's also because it's summertime and there's nothing going on in summertime.
You nothing! Well, it's almost over.
Yeah. And then we're going to be talking about all kinds of rock bands and Guitar Heroes and Mario Galaxies. Rock! And, you know, Smash Brothers' and...
Ass Effect. Assassin's Creed.
Yep.
So many ass games coming out.
Yeah.
Smash Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Ass Brothers.
Ass Band.
Ass Band.
Ass Hero.
Rock 3. Bass. Rock Ass.
Rock Ass.
Guitar Hero. Anyway, we're here for the mailbag.
Mm-hmm.
Not the ass bag. And we have a question from Richard Ball. If you'll forgive me for a second, Rich, at first I thought this was a spam email because if you look at your name in a certain way, you can kind of say Dick Ball, and I thought that was a fake name, but obviously it's not because this is actually a really good email.
Dick Ball.
He's also been listening to Game Slaves Radio. He sent them a nice long question like this as well. I'm glad people are listening to that thing. Listen to Game Slaves Radio. Anyway, hello, first time emailer, long time listener since episode 32. First off, congrats, Mr. Chupon, on getting a PS3. Austin is his middle name, actually. That's right. That's the only name that matters in the world. No matter how much Tony rants and raves, he has to agree that that was a great deal for what included at that price. Yeah, basically the PS3 that I purchased, which I blogged about on GameSnot, I got it off of eBay. It was $350, unfortunately, before shipping, so I kind of not counting that. I'm not counting that to be, you know, kind of to make it sound better than it really is.
Right.
It was $355, which actually was less than my Xbox 360, which is $361. I got Talladega Shits for it because I came with it and I can't resell it. Because, you know, it's not for resale.
It's not for resale.
Yeah. So he shouldn't have given it to me, but whatever. He threw it in as a package.
It's free.
I got Need for Speed Carbon, which I sold off for $6, which is better than nothing because I tried racing in that game and I'm like, this game sucks.
Mm-hmm.
And I also got Resistance Fall of Man, which is a typical console first-person shooter, meaning that it is inept. Well, okay, let's be fair.
Control-wise.
To be fair, my, and I won't call this a bias because it's a freaking fact, my hatred for console controls for an FPS aside, if this were on PC, I would probably like it a lot because it has really cool weapons. At least this one really cool weapon so far. Anyone who's played Resistance knows that the first special weapon you get is like that homing thing. You could like freaking paint the beacon on someone, go around a corner, and shoot the shit out of them like from around the corner without having to aim at them because it like homes in on them. And that was pretty cool. And this is Insomniac we're talking about, and they did Ratchet and Clank, so they know their weapons.
Mm-hmm.
I'm waiting for a Sheepinator though. I want to see a Sheepinator in a World War II game. But yeah, I mean, otherwise it's typical. It's, it could use a mouse. And I'm actually playing with a DualShock 2, because instead of throwing in a 6-axis, he threw in a DualShock 2, and a USB DualShock adapter. So if I actually want to get a 6-axis, I'll have to pay another $50, which, you know, some may consider a ripoff, but hey, I didn't care. I don't care at this point.
Yeah, like, still didn't pay $600 for the console.
Yeah. And he also threw in a free memory card reader so I can transfer all my PS2 saves over. So it was pretty cool, and I'm using my PS2 component cables because, as people may or may not know, I'm still using a VGA box, but it still comes out to 720p, and it still lets me set to 4x3, so it doesn't like squish the picture.
Mm-hmm.
Like it doesn't squish it, thinking that oh, you're at 720p, so that must mean you're using a widescreen. Like it doesn't do that. It keeps it at like 4x3, so which is pretty cool. Unless it's not keeping it by 4x3, and I can't tell. I don't know, but I know when I tried it with my 360, it actually did squish it, so I had to use a VGA cable, because the VGA cable is smart enough to know these things. But I'm waiting for a PS3 VGA cable, which will never come out. But yeah, that was my PS3 deal, and onto the actual question. Besides if space is an issue for you down the line, you can always swap out the hard drive for a bigger one at a much lower price point compared to Microsoft. That's true. You can actually swap out the hard drive yourself with a screwdriver and a laptop hard drive.
Oh, so, right.
Yeah, which is pretty cool. So there you have PS3. I think I had to guess what the obligatory question is. What games are you looking forward to in the coming months for the PS3? Heavenly Sword.
Lair.
Yeah. Yeah, 4.5 out of 10. Actually, you know what? I'm gonna risk lagging the podcast for a second to check the game rankings on Lair.
Mm-mm.
Average ratio, 59.9%.
Damn.
That puts it in good company with the Blair Witch Volume 3.
Ugh.
Blair Witch Volume 2,
ew,
which is 57%. Dragon's Lair 3D, which is 60%.
Wow.
Dragon's Lair HD, 45%. Austin Powers, Welcome to My Underground Lair, at 46% for the Game Boy Color. I'm just reading all the titles with Lair in it that are at 50, that are the between 50 and 60% ratio. And that's it. The rest are like Dragon's Lair 3D and stuff like that. Anyway, I'm looking forward to Ratchet & Clank, Heavenly Sword, and that's about it, I think, so far. It's like, it's kind of sad that I bought this thing. Yeah, I'm looking
cheap
forward
Blu-ray
to that.
Player.
Cheap Blu-ray player, that's true. And I wanted the hardware emulation. I didn't want software shit. And so I was kind of scrambling.
Sell the PS2.
No, I don't. I do. Because Guitar Hero doesn't work on the PS3. Even with the PS2 adapter.
Wow. That's buttocks.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty shitty. And it even has a Guitar Hero switch on the adapter, making you think that it'll work.
Wow.
And it doesn't.
Wow.
Those two games, really, that's about it. I mean, someone can probably throw something my way that I haven't thought of and probably make me happy. Yeah, sure, but the only things I can really, really think of are Ratchet & Clank and, you know, fucking Heavenly Sword. Everything else is either on the 360 also, or I'd rather play it on the PC. Like, Assassin's Creed, for example, I think I'd rather play it on the PC if I have a... Well, I don't know, maybe it'll be well do well on the PS3 with the 6-axis. And, that's it. I mean, nothing. I gotta say, unless you can...
Loco Roco is also coming out.
Man. I still have yet to play the PSP version. I have to try that first. I heard mixed things about it.
Mm-hmm. Metal Gear Solid 4 is all the rage. Meh.
Yay.
That's pretty much it.
That can't be it. Let me take a look. I should get Ridge Racer 7 for PS3. I should get that.
Yeah, sure.
Because, like, they're all the same.
Ridge Racer!
Because they're all the same and they never change, but... That's one of my guilty pleasures, that I like Ridge Racer.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go for PS3 games. The same thing happened with my 360. Don't get your freaking vagina sandy, okay? PS3, Xbox 360, I got it during the summer after a year of it being out, and I was like, Oblivion, I'd rather play it on PC. It plays better on PC. All these shooters, I don't care. I'd rather play them on PC. Tomb Raider, okay, that was cool, and I bought that. Cameo, I bought that, played it for about 2 hours, hated it, sent it back. Ridge Racer, Project Gotham. Okay, so they're racing games. Same thing's happening over again. Next year, it'll be fine. And it won't be $600.
Mm-hmm.
Let me get onto his freaking question. I have a question for the whole Try Games crew, and right now it'll only be me and Al for now, and then like in 10 minutes it'll be Tony and Ethan.
No, it won't.
A few weeks ago, I purchased a high-def TV. It was the most exhausting experience I ever had in terms of purchasing electronics. You practically have to be an expert when it comes to HD. My question to you is, do you think game companies, excluding Nintendo, are forcing HD on consumers too soon, considering the cost of entry? This is kind of scary considering the FCC is mandating that by February of 2009, all broadcasters in the U.S. move from analog to digital broadcast. My second question, I guess, is do you think the general public is ready for HD considering they have no choice by 2009?
Are we going to answer that right now? Because if so, I just have something important to say about that. Being that I work for a broadcast, well, not a broadcaster, but for a cable company.
Yeah.
And actually being involved in an analog to digital broadcast. All it really requires is that you send your signal through a digital medium so that you can save analog bandwidth.
Right. Your TV can convert it into analog signals. If you have a TV that can do that, or if you have a converter box for older TVs. Yeah.
If you have a cable box, which most cable companies offer a cable box, that's what receives the digital signal and then converts it to an analog signal for your TV. So you don't have to change your TV immediately. I know that there is an HD... there's some kind of HD revolution going on involving this, and that might be what he's talking about.
Right.
But you don't need to have an HD TV when the conversion changes. Once the TVs become less and less expensive and more mass market friendly,
right,
then they're going to start phasing it out like they phased out the old TVs that they used to have.
Right.
And so I think that, game companies are forcing HD on consumers a little too soon. But they're not forcing it on them. I would say that game companies would be forcing HD on consumers if, say, the Xbox 360 only had an HDMI port.
Right, right.
Or if the PS3 only had an HDMI port. Or if there was only component wires available. Like, my TV has component, but it's not an HD TV.
It's 480i?
It's 480i.
Right.
And I have no effing idea. I guess the component is only for... better colors.
Yeah, better color collided, basically. Yeah.
And I definitely see that with these wires. Because, like, if you compare my Wii, like, you were at my house, you compare the visual quality on the Wii to the visual quality on the PS2, in terms of colors, it's much more vibrant.
Just to note, the only component cables Al has are for his Wii. For his PS2, he uses composite, and that's why he was comparing the two.
But if I didn't have this TV... and say my Wii only came in with component cables, I'd be screwed.
Right.
And it's like there's no composite at all. Screwed. That's forcing HD.
Right.
So I think that they're throwing HD into these devices and increasing the price of their hardware a little too soon. But they're doing it so that they can try and get to the point where there are a lot of people with HD TVs. And that's pretty much that's my POV on that.
Right. I think that in terms of HD in general, I think that there's not enough education being doled out. I don't think it's user-friendly enough. I don't think that whatever propaganda that's coming out doesn't explain to the consumers, you know, easily and in, you know, a very simple manner what the frick the difference between 480i, 480p, 720p, 1080i, and 1080p are.
True.
And what that means for you. They don't talk about how the fact that the Super Bowl broadcasts in 1080i... HDTV in general broadcast in like some other format.
720p.
Video games, you know, come in another format. Blu-ray and HD/DVD are in 1080p. DVDs are in 480p. So it's like all over the freaking map. They need to have like some like easy to read chart, and you know, send it to people to educate them on how this works, and actually why they need to give up their analog spectrum, because people probably don't understand that either.
And not that they would really care, but still, it'd be nice for them to know.
Right. As far as game companies forcing HD, I agree with Alan in the sense that, no, it's not forcing. Forcing is exactly what he said. There is no option. Wii is forcing wireless controllers on us. That's forcing. Because there is no option for a wired controller. So they're forcing us to use batteries. In a sense, and I personally don't think that they're pushing HD too soon. Only because, you know, well... A, you know, they probably knew that the government was going... we already knew that the government was going to mandate a shift to HD. Not HD, I should say. A shift to digital.
Digital.
Which, in turn, kind of but not really, forces the hand of TV manufacturers to produce HD TVs instead of old tube analog TVs, which in turn offers you the opportunity to see your games in high def, because now you have the TV for it, even if you can't subscribe to high definition cable. So I think they're just simply future-proofing their products with the anticipation of what the government is doing.
That's true.
And I think that it's a necessary move, because then you have something like Nintendo where you don't know how consumers will react 10 years down the line when technology has advanced and people start playing these things on 1080p screens when they become widespread and cheaper, because that will happen. That's how life works. Things become cheaper and more available. And so when people start playing their Wiis on 1080p TVs and then they start looking at Xbox 360 games and they start thinking, didn't I play this 20 years ago? Yeah, they are pushing up the price, and I kind of hate that. I don't necessarily think it's all due to just it being HD. I mean, there are, of course, other factors in that.
Hard drive, wireless.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they could have shaved the price by like having the hard drive be a bit smaller, or having like, or for the PS3 sake, not building the wireless in, or all that shit. But I mean, regardless, I think that's something that needed to be done. You know that in 3 or 4 years down the line, they're going to freaking come out with another Wii or something if people start demanding it. And it's like, there goes another $250.
Wait, are you referring to a Wii with what?
HD. Yeah. If people start clamoring loud enough for it.
I'm wondering if that could be a firmware update, because it does support component. All you gotta do is
that's probably impossible. Mm-hmm. It's up to how powerful the hardware is, because you can tell the hardware to output in 720p, and then the game will run like shit because it can't put out 1280 by 720 pixels. It's like saying like, oh, this video card that I bought for $100, which is shitty now,
I'm gonna run it in 2048 by 1090.
Yeah, I'm gonna run it at 1600 by 1200 because I'm gonna download a firmware update. Unfortunately, it doesn't work that way.
No.
Actually, that's a good point. A lot of people on forums have been saying, well, can they update it? No, it's impossible. Stop dreaming. It does not work that way.
But is it because the hardware actually...
is weak?
I mean, I don't know. Is hardware really incapable?
Yeah, it's basically a GameCube with double the clock speed. Clock speed will get you somewhere. It's not going to get you to...
It's not going to get you 720p.
It's not going to get you to 720p without a hitch.
Right.
If you wanted to play like a 2D game, if you wanted to play Phoenix Wright in 720p, they might be able to squeeze it out.
I think 480p is fine anyway, at least in terms of what we got right now.
It's fine if you have the TV for it.
Yeah.
If, like I've seen 480p blown up to like a, I don't know, like a 37-inch screen, and mm-hmm. in the hotel room, and it still looks nice. But you can still tell. that it's being upscaled and it gets fuzzy. And it just, like, it looks nice. It could look nicer.
Right.
I mean, in this day and age, like, when you have the equipment for it, you want it to be used. You want it to look as good as it can, given the equipment that you have.
Mm-hmm.
People pay $2,000 for a 1080p TV. They're going to want to use it at its full capacity.
Damn right.
That's why I think that, you know, they made the right decision in saying... you know, hey, HD, we're capable. And then that's why the PS3 included composite cables out the box.
Mm-hmm.
But not component. The 360 Premium includes both component and composite.
Oh, nice.
So,
does it have that, like, adapter thing that they used to have for the Xbox?
I think it's all on the same cable.
Oh, wow. It was like a six cable wire?
I think so. Ethan, Tony, what are your thoughts? Good. Moving on. Ugaz, there you go. Thanks for the pronunciation tip. Ugaz Madan, who is Supersonic GameSpot, says, two short questions. One, Al, what is it like to be a game tester?
Two, sucks, but it's cool.
Two, South Park, Family Guy, and Simpsons. Which of the preceding three is a favorite of the Try Games crew? Me, I will go for the Simpsons with Family Guy, very, very close second. And South Park, a very, very close third.
Yeah, I'm going to go Family Guy with Simpsons as a tie and South Park at, like, a millisecond behind.
Right. Because I think with South Park, the reason why I put it at the bottom is that they, like, it's funny as shit, but sometimes they go, like, overboard. Not, like, offensively, but in terms of just, like, they try too hard and it becomes not funny. It's there for shock value. And that's the same... go ahead.
You go ahead. You finish.
That's also the same reason why Family Guy falls behind the Simpsons, because a lot of their shit is shock value. Once you see the episode 10 times, it's not funny anymore.
Right.
And the reason why I like Family Guy better is because they're still a little bit wittier. In terms of the episode structure, like a lot of what Family Guy does is just it goes and says, hey, let's dive into pop culture and then like say something random and then cut to that scene. And so it's like, eh, that gets old. And Simpsons has always like been very tongue-in-cheek, very subtle, not as laugh-out-loud funny, but more intelligent. And now that's not the case because it sucks.
It's been very sitcom-y.
But you go ahead, you say something for about 5 minutes. I have to get off the mic for a second.
All right.
And talk about testing.
Testing? Oh, yeah. I'll talk about testing then.
Okay.
What is it like being a game tester? Well, they put you in this dungeon with a game, and you have to sit and look at the screen for 8 hours straight while playing the same game over and over again. While you may think that that's pretty cool, it's a mixture of pretty cool and, well, shit. Only because when you're testing a game, you're not actually playing it to have fun. And the only real enjoyment that you're going to get out of testing a game is playing a new game for the first time, or a new level for the first time, or playing updates, or finding hilarious bugs and showing them to people. Like when you do something and it just like makes you fly all around the screen in some weird pose, and then you like explode and pieces fly off of your body unintentionally. That shit is funny. Like, I remember testing Vex, and Vex.
I'm back. Let's move on. Just kidding.
That's great. I remember testing Vex and
Vex before you sex.
Yeah, and he, you know, he's this little guy with these big ass claws and stuff. So you would take the claws and like hook them onto something, but then there was this bug where the claws would detach from the model, and you would run around and your claws would be stuck in the wall. And then there was another one where you would do that and you would hang, and then you would stay in the same animation, but you'd be running still. And it was just like hilarious stuff. And then there was this other bug in that game where you would hook into something and your arms would stretch indefinitely. So you'd be running away from where you hooked onto, but your arms would be like flying, you know, they'd be extending backwards. And you'd be running with these long, long plastic man arms. And you do just, you know, a lot of the fun in testing is finding those wacky bugs and showing them off. Like,
right.
Shadow Man 2, that was like the worst game ever, the most buggy game ever, and we used it as redlining new guys. Like, you just got a job at Acclaim, you're going to be testing for the first week Shadow Man 2.
Oh, God.
Because that game is so buggy, it allows us to tell how well your bug finding skills are.
That's so fucking funny.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, all of the leads and all of the full-time guys who have to watch the new guys test, they have to go and read these same bugs over and over. They got to read the penmanship, because this isn't like when you get started in, well, when you got started in Acclaim, I'm pretty sure it's different now in other companies, because right, everything is all computer related and stuff like that. Like, we had a database, but the higher-ups were so concerned about people fucking up the database that they would actually have to submit handwritten sheets of the bugs, and then the leads would have to go and enter them into the database.
Oh, God.
And then when you actually were trusted, then you were able to enter stuff into the database directly. I'm pretty sure that is...
Well, that's inefficient.
I mean, it is inefficient, but I completely understand why, because the database would be completely effed if you had all these people writing these really effed up bugs into the database, or putting in things and having like bad spelling and things like that. It was a method of control.
Right, right. Well, I guess I just think that they should have had like a better database structure, and then have like a user account and then an administrative account to go in and change things, like instead of having to look off the paper.
Yeah, it's true.
Whatever. I'm not Acclaim. Acclaim is dead. They make online games now.
Yeah. And Family Guy is like
that was random. You gonna jump back to the second question?
Well, yeah, because I was gonna say something, but you were in the middle of talking.
Okay.
I say Family Guy and The Simpsons tie because I think that Family Guy is a lot more roughly, and then
South Park. You go with the stupid ass really, internet culture again with the raffles and shit.
Yeah, pretty much. South Park basically takes current events and tells you why they're stupid, if they're stupid current events. And
No mistake, South Park is also very intelligent, but it doesn't like appear that way to people sometimes.
Right. Family Guy is something that
you know, they dig into a general culture, which is pretty much still extending
pop
into
culture.
This day. Pop culture.
Yeah.
And it's a really nice bag to pull things out of, especially when you have references of things that, you know...
You remember.
That
when
you
remember.
Were
like five.
Right. And that, I think, gives it more longevity. And I look for...
It's rotten.
I look for Family Guy episodes, like when Family Guy comes out with a new season, I'm more anxious to see that than I am to see South Park.
Right.
The Simpsons, I like it. It's just that I somewhat completely abhor sitcoms. So I try not to watch The Simpsons too much. But The Simpsons can be extremely funny for a half an hour, and that's why it matches up with Family Guy.
Can be extremely funny.
Shut up. So, Supersonic was licking a spoon when Tony mentioned his wet pussy.
I was going to read that as a postscript. sad face. Okay.
Yeah.
Here is, and congratulations to Riven, because I'm about to read this. Hey guys, no real question, but want to reply to a few things since I just finished listening to episode 59. Not that I want to gloat about how cool my girlfriend is, but well, she is. She doesn't watch TV. Actually, neither of us do. I just use the TV for gaming, or if we watch a movie, and luckily she's into war movies, not chick flicks. That's awesome. Does she have a sister?
Yeah, that is hot.
Does she have a sister that's into Asian stuff? Because I'm not. But I am, but I'm not into
You're not Asian stuff?
I'm not Asian stuff.
Oh.
Yeah. We are both going to be on the lease, but we are committed to each other for much more than a year. Congratulations. We actually already have a wedding date set.
Fantastic.
If by some chance it didn't work out, maybe she'll realize how much better she can do than me once we're living together. I could afford the apartment for myself if she wants to leave peacefully. That's good. Or I would leave peacefully if she wanted it. So that's good. Good.
All right.
Anybody for reference, listen to episode 59 and his question about moving in with games and shit. All in all, I don't think we'll have any problems living together, not even closet spaces. Neither of us own more clothes than we need.
Wow. Does she have it? Let me stop.
Thanks for the tip about making sure we can all fit our shit through the door, though. I'll double-check on all that as we're moving everything ourselves. Finally, don't worry, Austin, I don't foresee her ever telling me to give up video games, as she already jumps down my throat anytime I mention the possibility of selling or trading in systems or games. That is awesome. Seriously. Mm-hmm. Sister, cousin,
yeah.
Anything? Not male. Female. When I was a wee little dyke.
She's give me anything you want. Money, power, women. Men?
She seems like she sincerely does not want me to change who I am. And hopefully that won't change once we are living together. I guess that's it. You don't have to read this during the show. It's probably not very interesting to the other listeners. The other listeners can suck a dick. Yeah. Other listeners, nothing.
I seen it.
Tony just seemed so serious about his warning that I felt the need to respond to it. Thanks again, guys. He was probably not serious. He was serious, but he wasn't. Like, we all joke around about that stuff, but we all have a hint of seriousness because that is a serious type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you want to make sure that she leaves your gold stash of games alone. Oh, and I guess if you want a real question, I can ask something. Since you guys do the whole bag of shit game thing, if you could take a horrible game and had the ability to make it great, what game would you choose and what would you change about it? Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. Next episode.
Yeah, I'll just throw in my hat for a lot of the Game Boy games that I may have... Well, yeah, Mortal Kombat could have been made better by either not coming out or just having better control.
I was going to say... I would take a game that was horrible and shoot it so that it would not come out, and that's what I would change about it. Yay!
Peace, he says. Okay. Message from Gideon. Sup, guys? I just got finished listening to the latest podcast, and I got some questions comments. First of all, how could a discussion about the 360's fall lineup not include Halo Instafail? Whether or not you like the game, it's got to at least be mentioned. Hey, this is not about me listing games that are good or not. This was about listing games about off the top of my head, and sorry, but Halo isn't in my mind share. I'm sorry, it's not that I dislike it, which I actually do because I don't like console shooters, but it's just that it wasn't in my brain at the time. So, not going to mention it.
And I completely forgot that Halo is actually coming out this month.
Yeah.
I keep thinking it's going to come out in November or something like that, or next year. And then they're like, Halo 3, right around the corner. I'm like, oh, wow, damn, shit, don't throw it in my face.
Because the games I'm thinking about are Mass Effect, Assassin's Creed, and I forgot what else. Bioshock and stuff. And I'm sure there are other games that I could be thinking about, but I'm not at the moment.
Crisis.
That I do like. 360.
Oh, well,
yeah.
But
there are other games I could be thinking of right now that you could probably be like, wow, why'd you mention it? Fail. But I wasn't thinking of it. Which one?
I said Too Human.
That's not coming out till the end of the decade.
Coming out in 3008.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Digimatrix thinks he pwned me by saying that, they did come out with a release date later because after the podcast came out, they said that it was going to come out in first quarter of 2008. First of all, Q1 08 is not a release date.
No, not at all. They said Q1 96 or something like that, like 10 years ago.
No, but not even that. I'm saying Q1 is not a date.
Yeah, isn't it?
It's a date is March X, 2000 X.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Q1's not a date. Second of all, like Al said, they said Q1 96 in 1996. They said freaking Q3. No, they said Q2 2007. And they said that was their scheduled release date. So, maybe it'll come out in 2008. I hope it does so I can play it. Mm-hmm. But I reserve the right to be skeptical until mm-hmm. it comes out. Because this is mm-hmm. Dennis Dyack we're talking about. Mm-hmm. And he loves lawsuits. And him and Mark Green had some nasty breakup sex. Mm-hmm. Gideon continues, this is what I've been pondering for a while, and this is a very easy question. If Al has to leave during every podcast taping, why don't you guys start like a half hour earlier? Seems like a simple solution to me. We did start half an hour earlier. We have been starting half an hour earlier.
It takes a half an hour to kind of get started sometimes.
The other thing is that Saturday comes before Sunday, and as you, Gideon, a drunk, by all means, know, people party on Saturdays. People like to have fun on Saturdays. They go to sleep late on Saturdays.
Yeah.
And so they don't necessarily always wake up early on Sunday.
Unfortunately, Saturday is my Sunday, and I just don't give a fuck.
Also, why wouldn't we do it on Saturday? Sometimes we do it on Saturday, and that's when he doesn't leave. But we can't always do it on Saturday because people got shit to do. Last thing, I guess I should ask a question worthy of some sort of verbal exchange. So, with BioShock shaping up to challenge the title for best game ever, some are knocking its lack of multiplayer. Do you think that the title in the current age has to have multiplayer to be worth its designation? Lack of multiplayer. You go first.
No.
No.
It doesn't need to have multiplayer at all. I mean, think about it. Warhawk has no single player. And not that it's a great game, but it came out.
It came out.
You know, I mean, a game doesn't have to have single player to actually be a game, so a single player game doesn't have to have multiplayer to be best game of the year, like Ocarina of Time.
Or Bioshock.
Or Metroid Prime 2 Corruption.
That doesn't have multiplayer, right? They took that out?
They had absolutely no multiplayer.
I think that each game stands on its own merits. I think that once you start checklisting things, then you're just doing yourself a disservice. I think it's stupid when people say, oh, this game has multiplayer, that one doesn't. Oh, this game has 7 modes, that one doesn't. I'll tell you this much. If a game is very similar to another game, then you have to start checklisting. Because it's similar. So obviously you have to, like, it's not unique enough to stand out on its own, so it's got to go by the merits of its features. It's like the argument of, like, you know, a unique product versus a commodity. You take a commodity, the better commodity is the one that has more features for less price.
Right.
Where in other respects, like, the better true product in terms of, you know, uniqueness is what's more innovative. So, with Zelda, no multiplayer. With Oblivion, fuck multiplayer. Who cares about multiplayer? No. Don't even think about multiplayer for Oblivion. There's so much gameplay by yourself that you don't need multiplayer. What other examples can we think of? Well, we talk about
Metroid.
Wow. Multiplayer only.
Only multiplayer.
There you go. It's really hard, because a lot of people still like the checklist, but, like, a game is basically more than the sum of its parts, unless it's cookie cutter. And at that point, like I said, you have to start summing up its parts. Mm-hmm. So a game that, like, plays to its strengths, when you have a great idea, and that great idea doesn't involve multiplayer, don't ruin it by sticking multiplayer in there. Now, I'm not saying...
Yeah,
I'm not
Sims
saying
Online.
That, what? Cinco de Mayo?
Sims Online.
Oh. I'm not saying that if you stick in multiplayer to a game that doesn't need it and makes it worse, you just don't play it, and that's fine.
Sims Online.
Metroid Prime 2.
Yeah.
Cause
even though that was pretty fun when I played it at E3.
I never played it since. I don't think I want to play a multiplayer game with lock-on like that. That's first-person shooter. But anyway,
I don't know if there is lock-on.
There's lock-on.
Oh, yeah, there is. Has to be. But you can turn into a ball and, like, roll around and fuck around with
it. You know, he's right. Some games don't work. But like I said, those are those individual games. Monkey Ball wouldn't be the same without multiplayer. That's its strength. So, no. Answer is no. Let's move on. Ethan, Tony, what are you... Okay, thanks, Tony and Ethan. Third to last, Marshy Man says, quick hitters for you. Which is better? Which is WHICH, buddy? Mets or Yankees? I hate baseball.
I like them both, but I guess Yankees because they're like, it's like comparing Marvel superheroes versus Teen Titans.
I'll say Mets only because I hate baseball and I also hate obnoxious fans, and a lot of the people that I encounter who are fans of the Yankees are obnoxious. Not to say that all Yankee fans are obnoxious. It's just
a lot of them are.
It's just anecdotal evidence from what I've encountered. That's all.
Yeah, it's because they're
Ethan,
players,
for example, like, is obnoxious. No. Shaq Fu. Go ahead.
I'd say it's because their players are, like, extremely high paid and expected to be, like, the unstoppable force.
And when they're not, it's funny.
Yeah.
Although I don't mind, because that's freaking, you know, that those are the league rules. If he can take advantage of it, he takes advantage of it. But the, whatever. Yeah, right. Shaq Fu or the movie Kazam? Shaq Fu, because I like video games better than movies.
Yeah, Kazam was really cheesy. Yeah.
Tacos, or, well, Shaq Fu sucked, though, but still. Tacos, yeah, or burritos? Burritos.
Tacos. Burritos don't agree with me.
Chipotle burritos. Virtual Boy.
Oh, Chipotle burritos are awesome.
Virtual Boy or N-Gage? At least I can use N-Gage as a phone, so N-Gage.
Yeah, I'm not fucking with my eyes. N-Gage.
Pre-orders or walking in and buying the fucking product? Amazon.com.
Hands down, walking in and buying the fucking product. Pre-orders are bullshit. I was in GameStop to buy Picross and Clubhouse Games, and this lady was asking about Halo 3. She thought it came out already, and they're like, oh, it comes out September 25th. You better reserve that game. God. And it's like, that game is going to be coming out. That game is going to have a much higher distribution than, like, most games that are out there. It's not like it's going to be the Wii and, oh my god, I can't find it for like 6 months, 9 months, a year after it drops. It's a fucking right. software product. Nobody needs a pre-order on anything. Go to BBPS. Is BBPS?
Bits, Bytes, Pixels, and Sprites?
Yeah, for that.
Yeah, the gaming GameStop tree! Thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Guitar Hero 4 or Rock Band 2? Rock Band 2.
Rock Band 2.
Okay, so Aiden Bonerham. Sorry,
wait,
I
wait.
To do that.
You know what? I have to think about that. I think it's still going to be both. Because I was thinking about it, especially...
Well,
just,
imagine that we can only pick one.
Okay, I know, Rock Band 2. But I was just thinking about... It made me think about what I was thinking about before. I was thinking about why is 1, Metallica, in Guitar Hero 3, and Enter Sandman, which is a completely non-technical song, really, but it's more of a song. And I was like, oh, shit, that's right. Because you could have somebody sing and actually really right. have fun with it and not have to deal with standing around for long instrumental parts. And then 1 is guitar-friendly, a lot of instrumental parts,
right.
a lot of technical playing. And I'm like, wow, that is fucking awesome thinking. All right, next question.
What is your favorite game feature in the game it's from? A crappy example might be active reloading Gears of War. Also, now that Pirates vs. Ninja is over, are you guys going to have another competition? Yes, we are for the second question. The first question is, oh, by the way, I know you put a spoiler in there in your email, and it was probably just a joke, but I will never read what you put in spoilers, so don't do it. What is your favorite game feature? What game is it from?
What is my favorite game feature and where in the game it's from? Damn, that sounds like a mini topic.
I'll try to think of something real quick.
Okay, I guess... One of my favorite game features, I'll definitely say, like, I don't know if it's a game feature per se, but it's something that you can do in video games, so I guess you could call it a game feature. Wall jumping. That is one of my favorite things. Like, I will buy a game if it has wall jumping, because I'm just a sucker for wall jumping. You know, like, I was feeling Ninja Gaiden, you know, the wall jumping, you know, the hop. I enjoyed Metroid Prime 2 because it had pretty cool wall jumping. There were some other games.
I'll say, and this is kind of a lame one, but real-time lighting used correctly. So, Condemned, Splinter Cell on the Xbox, not the PS2 or GameCube, or on the PC. Splinter Cell on Xbox or PC with real-time, like real-time lighting. Because, I don't know, it's basically a technological advancement that like people are like, oh, it's just tech, but it actually like adds a whole new dimension to shit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, shooting out the lights in Splinter Cell was awesome the first time I did it. I was like, holy shit, I can actually manipulate this and, like, change the way the game plays by destroying light. Next question from Ish. What's up, fellas? My question for this week is, which method of purchasing games do you prefer? Buying at an actual retail outlet or a digital download, and why? Also, do you feel that downloads will replace the good old tradition of purchasing games at a store in the future, or will just serve as a convenient second option as it is now?
You gonna answer this first?
Sure. I don't know. That's a tough question because I am very, very quickly running out of space.
Me too.
But I like the ability to bring a console game to a friend's house.
And I like collections.
I think that's like Ethan pointed it out before. He thinks it's just a vanity thing. Whether or not it is, I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, I like it.
I'll give in to
like
that. I am vain. I like to see all my games sitting on a row. Yeah. I like for people to come into my house and be like, oh, look at all those games.
I also think that like with a physical product, if you take care of your shit, there will never be anything more reliable than having a physical product.
Mm-hmm.
Because
except when CDs oxidize, but we're not gonna go there.
Oh, hmm. That's
something
a good
like
point.
21 years.
Yeah,
which kind of blows.
Well, I think in that case though, if that's the case, then like I would still like to play my games 20 years later. So then I would have to give a point to digital distro.
Yeah.
I think that the problem with digital distribution is that it's easier. I think it's easier to run out of hard drive space than it is to run out of physical space. In terms of, like, if I have if the average consumer has like a 40 gig hard drive or a 60 gig hard drive, Riven just upgraded from a 40 gig very recently.
Mm-hmm. I have an 80 gig.
And you have an 80 gig, and the Xbox 360 has like a 20 gig as its default for the premium. It's very easy to run out of that shit.
Mm-hmm.
And while like downloads, broadband speeds are getting better. So as broadband speeds get better, then sure, that's fine. Like if you delete something off your hard drive and just re-download it, that's fine. In the future, I think that I will probably gravitate towards digital distribution.
Mm-hmm.
For my PC games.
Hell yeah.
Because when I think about my PC, I like having everything at one spot. I like convergence for my PC. I don't necessarily like convergence for my console. I like to keep things separate. I don't know why. I'm mental like that. So I like keeping things separate. And like, especially with consoles being standardized pieces of machinery and like not necessarily being so friendly to having a bigger hard drive,
mm-hmm.
That's tough. I don't want to keep on re-downloading Prince of Persia: Sands of Time over and over again on my console. Because you know what I mean? Like, my console's where I go to have a simpler experience and just dive in, whereas my PC, when I'm in the mood to play a PC game, I'm willing and ready to put up with bullshit like crashes and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm not, that's why I want my consoles there. It's like it's like two different things for two different moods. And so I don't know if I'll like digital distribution for my console. I will say that in the future, I think they'll be neck and neck. Because I don't know how fast broadband will proliferate so that reliable digital distribution will be, you know, a reliable source of shit. So, I don't know. I will say that they're a tie in the next 10 years. Maybe in 100 years, digital distro will be the main thing and physical will be secondary.
Shit.
Al, what are your thoughts?
I feel that there's a difference between consoles and PCs because of what we're used to. You know, when we got our first console, we had a handful of cartridges.
Yeah.
And so the handful of cartridges presents us with that separation, that idea of a collection. Whereas when you get your PC, all you have is a couple of floppy disks. And when you put the floppy disks in your computer, you would throw them and stash them in a corner. Or you would lose them, or they would break, or you give them to somebody and they never give it back. So all you had was what was on your hard drive. And then you try your best, if you lost your original disk, to like back up the game in its current incarnation, and hope that if you reformatted your system that you could just copy it right back on, it would work. Most of the time it wouldn't. And when time progresses and things become a little easier, I think that that split becomes more defined, where it's like distro distribution is much more fitted for PCs because of the fact that your software that you obtain for your PCs finds its home on the hard drive inside the computer. So everything is a collective inside your computer. But when you go and buy games for consoles, yes, and the resistance is futile. And when you buy games for your console...
By the way, that's about the only thing I know about Star Trek. Don't ask me any questions because I have no clue what any of that shit is. I know that there's a dude with funny ears, and that was Leonard Nimoy, and like when you teleport, your ass comes on backwards and your head comes on backwards and stuff. That's all I know. Go ahead.
Spaceballs.
Yes, it is. Your face is Spaceballs.
Your face is Spaceballs.
Your face balls.
Shit. So, So, with consoles, there's always a differentiation. For every game, you have to put in the disc itself. So, really, it's going to be more friendly for us in our brains to purchase games at a retailer. I think that if digital distribution was completely for consoles, there would be a devaluing of the games itself, I think, personally. It would be, like, for example, Virtual Console. Personally, to me, is a devaluing of the games. I don't have to keep the games if I don't want to, because I can always download it later.
Right, right.
Whereas, you know, I've had that same kind of mentality, and that's why I don't have no goddamn SNES games or NES games, because I, like, sold them all.
And
I'm like, fuck, I don't have these fucking games anymore. And I have the console, I have a controller, but I have no fucking games.
Yeah.
And it's bullshit. And I wish that I, you know, didn't do those things when I was younger.
Moving on, Slunk says, so since I've bought Streets of Rage 2, I stepped back into the realm of video game music. I've been listening to it very often like I used to.
Go straight.
Streets of Rage 2 definitely has a killer soundtrack, so I figured I'd ask you guys, what's your favorite games with music ever? By the way, Slunks, we actually answered this a while ago. I can't remember what episode, but pwned! On a more serious note, I'd say anything involving Nobuo Uematsu makes my pee-pee hole tingle with love.
Wow, my pee-pee hole usually tingles with pee-pee.
I know how much you guys hated FF10, although I completely agree with you about the bullshit it is. It still remains one of my favorites, but the soundtrack is probably one of the best examples of Nobuo's work. I don't hate FF10. I hate the cutscenes, but I really like the gameplay.
You know,
and there's enough gameplay in an RPG for me to get over that. Unlike Metal Gear Solid, where it's 2% gameplay and 20% F&B.
Maybe I should start that game over again, but I don't know. I think that in FF10, the puzzles made me cringe. And I was like, I am not in the mood to solve a fucking puzzle. That's how I felt about FF10.
Oh, then you don't want to play Twilight Princess, trust me.
No. Twilight Princess is not an RPG. Twilight Princess is an adventure game with puzzle elements. Like, when I was playing Metroid, there are a lot of puzzle elements in
it. So then what are the puzzles like in 10? Because I know you're farther than me, so maybe I should know what to expect.
Well, there's like this temple, and you had to get through the temple. In order to get through the temple, you had to unlock all these different doors in different ways. And trying to do that, and then every 3 seconds is a fight.
Good point.
I'm really not in the mood to be switching from puzzle mode to fight mode, unless I kill stuff and then I solve the puzzle without having to get into more fights. And it was just distracting for me.
I'll get ready for that then.
Yeah.
That's what I should be playing for the next month. I think that's... what is your favorite... Soundtracks are your favorites. I'm still going to go with Final Fantasy VI. And Chrono... Final Fantasy VI, Chrono Cross, not Trigger, Chrono Cross, and Xenogears, with the exception that Chrono Cross's battle music is some of the worst I've ever heard in my entire life, and it's shit.
You will always stand by that. Yeah.
It's terrible. I'm sorry. Anybody who likes that, come here so I can give you a present. That present's a fucking kick to the balls.
Yeah.
But Xenogears is also very, very, very good. I
must say that...
For the record, by the way, before you continue, random tangent, Halo, the Halo soundtrack is the best thing about that game. Go on. Because I like that music a lot, but go on.
I like my favorite games with music ever.
It's 126, by the way. I don't know if you're in trouble.
That's so cool. I took my shower and stuff. Okay. Well, I just get dressed and leave.
Smell.
Anyway. I like Yuzo Koshiro. He's fucking the man. And
ActRaiser.
No, he's not fucking the man, but he is the man. He did ActRaiser, which music I absolutely enjoy. And he does Streets of Rage, which music I absolutely enjoy. Like, I swear, I need to go and get myself an imported copy of the Streets of Rage, like, complete soundtrack, 1, 2, and 3. Because I like the music from 3. Not that I like the gameplay as much as I like 2, but I love the music from 3. Mm-hmm. I love the fact that you started out in Streets of Rage 3 with boss music. I was like, oh, it's fun. not that one. The boom, 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 boom. You know,
I don't, but go ahead.
Anyway, I know Bosso knows what I'm talking about.
Bosso!
Bosso!
Bosso! Let's drop some names to pick up. You said Yuzo Koshiro.
Yeah, there's Nobuo Matsuo.
Hitoshi Sakimoto, Final Fantasy Tactics, Gradius V, Radiant fucking Silver Gun. Great soundtrack. Mm-hmm. Get that.
Yeah. I forget. I just said the guy's name last night. Metroid Prime, the guy who does music for Metroid.
Kenji
Sakamoto, yeah.
Is it Kenji or something? I don't know.
I think it's Kenji. Kenji Sakamoto.
Hitoshi and Kenji Sakimoto. Both good guys.
Yeah.
Yasunori Mitsuda for the Chrono series and Xenogears.
That's his name. Mitsuda. I have to put that in my Zoom.
Jeremy Soule, he did Oblivion and Morrowind. Excellent, excellent shit.
Oh yeah, that's good music.
I've heard very good things about Jesper Kidd or Kind. Is it Kind or Kidd? Jesper Kidd, who does the Hitman soundtracks.
I don't know.
Three Wood knows what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Tommy Tallarico can suck a ball. Generic ass shit.
I can't really think of anything else because
Koji Kondo's all right. I mean, Zelda's always good, but then Mario stuff is good, but it's always just, you know, it's nothing earth-shattering, it's just fun.
Yeah, it's memorable stuff, but nothing, like, that would make the earthquake.
The chick who did, I think it's Michiru Yasame or something like that, let me look it up, but the chick who did the Castlevania soundtracks when Symphony of the Night and Dracula X came out, let's see, she also did Aria of Sorrow and Dawn of Sorrow and Harmony of Dissonance.
Oh, Aria Sorrow. That has a really good soundtrack.
Yeah. What's her name? I can't. Composer. A lot of these Japanese people.
I kind of liked the Crystal Chronicles soundtrack. That's Kumi Taniyoke.
Oh, yes.
She's got a lot of good, like, Celtic and old world music
right.
stuff.
Very interesting. Very good instrumentation. Oh, Aria of Sorrow. I was right. Michiru Yamane. I got the last name wrong. And there's also some other dude I forget. Whoever does the freaking Treasure soundtracks are also pretty good. Like the ones the Gunstar Heroes and Ikaruga.
Oh, that well, Ikaruga is Hiroshi Ichi.
Yeah, he's the actual like director. Ah, he's a programmer, director, producer, and composer. whoa! This just pulled up in Google. Ikaruga was developed by a 4-man team.
Yep.
Fucking awesome. I love Treasure. Any other drop names, or are we done to wrap it up?
I think we're gonna pick those names up.
Okay. Wrap that shit up. Listen to Game Slaves Radio. This is Housekeeping. Game Slaves Radio at gameslaves.net or on the iTunes Music Store. Listen to the On Point Podcast with Marshy Man, the guy who spells witch WITCH, but it's all good because he's cool. At gamespot.com/user/MarshyMan50. On the site, nothing new is on the site, but I will say, just to pimp my own article, go to aeropause.com. aeropause.com.
Yeah, that's worth reading.
Look up my look up an article that I wanted to post on Trigames that I couldn't because I won BioShock with it. It's called This Toy is Rated N for Mature. And I believe you can still Google it, too, if you can't find it on Aeropause. This toy is rated M for mature.
Read it. Now.
Yeah, it's on Google. The headline is Aeropause, the goods on gaming, and my name is there in the Google
blurb
in the marquee if you are unsure if it's the right one. And nothing else is news on the site, but I will be putting up some editorials soon, so just look out for that. Oh, actually, sorry, there is some new shit on the site. We have a new contributor, Stephen Woodward. Read his article. We have Ben Lee, aka Zaps, reviews Sherlock Holmes: The Awakened, and he uses the word killer vagina, which is awesome. Before the last podcast, another old contributor, Anne LaBella, put up a Madden 08 opinion piece.
Oh, yes. I read that.
So, there you go. And we're done. For Al.
You.
For Ethan.
Ew. Edit me in.
For Tony. Edit me in. By the way, people, there's a very good chance that this is the only podcast and we don't do an edit in, but I'm just leaving it open just in case they decide to do it tomorrow. I've been your host, Mr. Austin Pond, and Al's working.
Yeah, that's right.
His hair.
Out his bitch.
You shoot that shit. You shoot it deathly. You not read it. Balls, nothing.
Bob Saget DVD is doing that.
It is?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
She's anything you want. Money, power, women,
men.